It's Marketplace Tech for February 3rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. When the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots face off for the Super Bowl this Sunday, over 100 million people are likely to watch. But some of the viewing will be on the little screen. Last year during the event, almost 17 million tweets were sent. About a third of those were about advertising, and Twitter is thinking a lot about how to guide brands in that department. Stacey Monero is head of content planning at Twitter. She says there are the predictable moments in the Super Bowl and the unpredictable moments, like when there was a blackout in 2013 and Oreo tweeted that you can still dunk in the dark.
And so we call that here a social wink. And a social wink is something that it's kind of a clever response to something live that happens spontaneously. The reason it's a wink is because the person had to be watching that live broadcast to actually get the reference.
And as we all know, when you wink at somebody, you generally like them, or at least you feel like they're on your side, and maybe they are more likely to buy what you are selling. The game Civilization, or Civ, turned 25 last year. Part of its staying power as a video game might be that its strategy-focused gameplay, where you play a ruler of a civilization and try to bring it out of the Stone Age, is based on high ideals, like this bit from the game's latest iteration.
We rise to the challenge and become something greater than ourselves. A civilization.
A new book makes the argument that video games don't always rot your brain and can be good for us. It's called Power Play: How Video Games Can Save the World. Asi Barak is a game maker, educator, and co-author of the book, along with Laura Parker. Asi, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So let's start by answering the skeptics a little bit here. What are the unique qualities of video games that can make them good for solving problems?
I think that the big difference is when you compare video games to books or movies, they're interactive, where you take actions, you make decisions, and you see the consequences.
You start the book by talking about this game, Peacemaker. Can you tell me about that game and how it takes a different approach than a lot of games, which are focused on violence and war making?
Right. And Peacemaker got a lot of attention at the early days of the movement of Games for Change because it was so counterintuitive. Mm. You know, we are used to think about fighting and wars and in games, and that was a game about making peace. You could play the leader, either the Palestinian side or the Israeli side. And it's all about very high-level strategical decisions. And the game created this safe environment to dig deep into the issues.
A lot of these games don't make any money.
So this is changing, and changing fast. One of the most promising areas is neurogaming, neuroscience-based games. One of the stories that we cover in Power Play is the story of Adam Gazzelli, a brain scientist that made a video game that can actually fight mental decline. He got the cover of Nature magazine, and then he was approached by a business partner. And what those guys are trying to do is pretty ambitious. They're trying to get to be the first FDA-approved video game.
Wow.
That could be given by doctors. They call it digital medicine. Now, if they get the FDA approval, not only they're going to be super successful, it's going to open an industry.
Asi Barak is the co-author of Power Play: How Video Games Can Save the World. He's also the co-founder of the organization Impact Games. Asi, thanks for coming by and talking to me.
Thank you so much.
It's Silicon Tally time. Our guest today is Jenny Josephson, the producer of Marketplace's newest podcast, Make Me Smart. Jenny, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
So ready.
Okay, 1.86 billion users.
All right, this one I got. This is Facebook's recently reported, just for their past quarter, total users.
It's monthly users Facebook has. The company announced in its earnings report this week that that's how many that they had. That's, you know, they're still going.
Facebook keeps having more and more services that different parts of this world really want to have.
I just still wonder if eventually they're going to be MySpace.
Aren't we all, Ben? Aren't we all going to be MySpace someday?
Okay, one new social network.
It's not Lively, is it? That's been around.
I'll give you a hint. You played with this when you were a kid, probably.
Is it have something to do with Legos?
Well done.
Oh!
This is a reference to the new social network from Lego. The toy company launched a safe social network aimed at kids under the age of 13, which features on its app Lego Life. So,
can I live there now?
Well, I was going to ask you if you would use it. I mean, you know, both of us, we should admit, are not under the age of 13.
I'll let the kids talk about it. I just want to, like, build myself a little Lego house on the internet and go live there.
Don't we all? Jenny Josephson is the producer of the Marketplace podcast, Make Me Smart. Jenny, thanks a lot for playing Tally with me.
Thanks for having me.
And Uber CEO Travis Kalanick says he's stepping down from President Donald Trump's Economic Advisory Council because of the president's executive order on immigration. In a letter to employees obtained by Marketplace, Kalanick wrote, quote, "There are many ways we will continue to advocate for just change on immigration, but staying on the council was going to get in the way of that. The executive order is hurting many people in communities all across America. Families are being separated. People are stranded overseas. And there's a growing fear the U.S. is no longer a place that welcomes immigrants." End quote. Kalanick faced criticism for saying he'd stay on the council after the president's executive order banning refugees from seven mostly Muslim countries. President Trump's economic council has its first scheduled meeting today. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.